It's an NRL round review.
All over.
Round, what are we up to? Round 18.
Round 18, Liam.
Preview podcast, Liam Flanagan here. Ryan Girdler in for the round preview podcast, and he will be in all this week.
On debut.
Well. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good. I haven't debuted for anything for quite some time, so it's nice to be in for my first round review. Let's see how we go.
Who presented you with your first jersey back then?
They didn't do it. You know, it was early 90s, and it wasn't such a big thing. I think I just got the call. It was actually in a preseason trial game, so that's where I got to play three or four games. It was called the Tui's Challenge back in the day,
which is a different.
It was kind of it was different thing. It was kind of like an NRL game, but you played it sort of midweek and in the preseason. We won that, so that was kind of like an NRL game.
Whereas now, anybody who ever debuts,
the
social media team also films you calling your parents, and there's tears and there's emotion, and
I called my old man. He said, "Oh, about bloody time."
All those bloody weekends driving you around.
What took you so long?
Illawarra.
Yeah, let's hope you stay there for a couple of weeks.
All right, let's get stuck into it. All the way back to Friday night. No Thursday night footy this week. The Eels just simply too strong for the Gold Coast Titans. 26-8, you called this game.
We did, just an opportunity loss there for the Titans. I mean, the Eels, think about their week. You know, a couple of Origin players pulled out, their preparation. They had to move up north middle of the week and went up there, and I thought there was an opportunity for the Titans, who have been at home in their own beds with no changes to their weekly preparation. And they flopped, Liam.
In a big way.
They flopped in a big way, and I was really disappointed. You know, they had a really opportunity. They're sort of scrapping for the bottom part of the eight there, and the Eels just came up and, to their credit, put it to the Titans, and they capitulated.
You can see in a performance like that from the Gold Coast Titans, we'll get to the Eels in a second, why they want Dale Finucane.
Yeah.
Because it's that standard, it's that consistency of effort that Dale Finucane has and that the Storm has that the Titans just don't have yet.
They are not, they're just not resilient. And I think the issue with Dale Finucane is they've got so many good middle forwards. They can't afford that in their salary cap to spend another $700,000 or $800,000 on a middle forward. They've got to get more out of Fifita. Fifita's one of those players. He can do things that other people can't, but he also needs to do the things that a back rower does on a weekly basis to tick those boxes. He needs to watch kickout. Viliami Kickau is the perfect example. Can come up with the big special play, but his kick chase is strong. He's always looking for extra work, and he gets involved in the contest.
It's kind of like he's been told, not that he has been told this, but it feels like he's been told, you're just there to do the special things. Don't worry about rolling up your sleeves and doing all the other things that we expect of our second rowers, but...
But that's the platform you need to do the special things. Yeah. You need to get yourself into the game.
Hey, Parramatta Eels, on the other hand, though, this is with all the hype that the Panthers had in the first half of the year and now that the Storm are getting in the back half of the year, they just keep winning.
Really enjoyed this performance from Parramatta, I have to say, Liam. It showed a real level of maturity. Two key players out, Moses and Paul, are not backing up after Origin. And, they just went about their business. Did all the fundamentals right, you know, went up there and knew that missing those key players, they needed to tick a lot of boxes. And they did say they held the football, I think 90% completion rate up until about 60 minutes.
Feels like Reid Marnie's found another level.
He was great.
Since that injury.
Five weeks off with the shoulder injury. Just went back into the middle. I think they took him off with a few minutes to go. But it was exceptional.
He just
controlled the centre of the ruck, bring the forwards onto the ball really well. And I spoke about Gutherson earlier. I mean, he's having some sort of season, this guy. The fact that he just can't break into a rep side just is astounding, isn't it, with the level of quality fullbacks we have in the competition?
I know MG and I have already talked about it's a race in two for the Daly M. But Nathan Cleary, as we know, he will be leading up until this injury. And Tommy Turbo has come from a long way back to try and chase him down.
Yep. But
now with Origin and everything, Clint Gutherson... Far and away, the Eagles' best player all season.
Absolutely.
And they're winning games.
Absolutely. He's going to be in the frame. He was in the frame last year. Probably surprised a few people. But, he's going to be thereabouts again this year. And, just as I said before, just a real sign of a mature footy side to go about the business with the disruptive week that they had. And to perform like that was a good sign.
Second game Friday night, it was Manly 32-18. No Tom Trbojevic, and yet they still got it done, which I think Des Hasler would be very pleased with. They showed last week when he wasn't there for the game against the Raiders, neither was DCE, that they could be got at. And this week, they were much better, albeit against a Dragon side that you just feel the slide is inevitable out of the top eight.
It's been a tough couple of weeks for the Dragons, but yeah, no Tommy Turbo, no DC, no Jake as well, don't forget. And yep. He's an important piece to their puzzle. So another really mature performance by a side with a disrupted week to go up there without those key players and get the job done against St. George, who, even though, you know, it hasn't been a great couple of weeks for them, fielded a pretty good side considering and had an opportunity to go out there and stake a claim for, you know, that I think they're in seventh or eighth spot going into the weekend. Mm. So it was an important game for them. As you said, they don't want to get on the slide. The maturity shown by Kieran Foran, he does it on a weekly basis, played 15 or 16 games already this year. The influence he had on the group the other night was there for all to see. And then that in combination with these young guys coming through, that's a real exciting thing for Manly, I think, this year. We know what Tommy can do. We know what DCE can do. We don't know what Schuster can do, what we're finding out. Paseka's had a really good 12 to 18 months. And Olakau'atu out on that right-hand side, and the damage that he's starting to do and the confidence that he's starting to play with, developing an offload, throwing people out of his way for tries. I mean, they're a force to be reckoned with. They're building nicely. They are really building nicely, I have to say.
Remember when there was all that criticism at the start of the year about Manly and how cooked their list was because of the Trbojevic deals and the DCE's percentage salary deal? And now you look at, as you say, these young kids coming through. Very exciting stuff.
It's all about balance, Liam, isn't it? You know, if you've got those players in your cap that take up the majority of it, it's all about young guys that come through your system that put their hand up at the big time of year, the finals, and go, I'm ready to contribute, and these guys are doing that.
I look at this game from a Dragons perspective and wonder why they didn't make more of those, the Party House 12 cop their suspension in this game. Because you look next week where they take on the Gold Coast Titans, winnable.
Yeah, I agree. Just take your medicine and get on with it. Lose the contest. Yeah. I mean, they weren't a great chance of coming up against Manly and winning anyway at the start of the week when you thought all Manly players were going to be on board. So, yeah, now they pay the price and it's drawn out over a period of time and they're going to struggle. But they are playing the Gold Coast.
But they got to drip feed the remaining suspensions probably over this week against the Titans, next week against the Rabbitohs, and the week after against the Raiders who have found form. So, look, the Dragons... We don't want them to slide. We'd love to see them hold on to the eight, but frankly, it's going to be a real tricky balance for Anthony Griffin to manage this side.
Yeah, I don't know how he does it. And it's the fundamentals again, you know, when you've got some players there that are in really good touch and Benny Hunt coming back from a really good Origin experience. And he was good again. He's trying to lift the truce, but just getting the fundamentals right. Errors, ill discipline. Not willing to defend errors, all those simple things that, you know, all these sides at the moment are falling into. They just can't compete with the better sides if you're going to hand over cheap possession and not be disciplined.
Cowboys Roosters, this was the game on Saturday, 34-18. The Roosters winning this one. MG, this was his roughie for the weekend because it was basically win or go home for the Cowboys. And we now know they're going home.
Yeah, this was actually a pretty tight contest. The scoreline sort of blew out late. We know how many players the Roosters have on the sidelines at the moment, but again, opportunity for the Cowboys who had a great week up there at home. You know, their preparation wasn't altered at all, played in front of a nice big crowd up there in really good conditions. And look, they had their moments during the contest. You have to say that, but just the class of the Roosters in the end, in those key positions, Joey Manu's and those guys just found a way to get the job done. Sammy Walker just stepped up when he needed to. And one thing about the Roosters, regardless of who plays in their side, you know you're going to get an 80-minute performance, and that's what it took to get the Cowboys the other day.
Look, the Cowboys still only sit a one win out of the eight, but their four and against it's monumental.
It's no good.
And their run home is difficult. So they needed to pinch that one. Going to be hard to see them getting into the eight, particularly with other teams around the same mark in better form. We get to this game on Saturday, which was one of these four-point swing games, because the Raiders taking on the Sharks. The Sharks sitting in eighth position, the Raiders really needing to take 2 points away from one of those other contenders and get it into their own column, and they did just that. And Xavier Savage, what an exciting prospect this kid is for Raiders fans.
I think everyone's been waiting for young Xavier over the last couple of weeks just to get in some open space, because we've all heard about his track and field background, and you know, everyone's been dying just to see him, you know, get in the clear and accelerate away. And we saw moments of that, probably not as much as we would have liked to see him, but he certainly, I caught his debut a couple of weeks ago when they had that win over, I think it was the Sharks.
Yep.
The Warriors. And And yeah, he just kind of looked a little bit lost. It just wasn't up to the speed of the game. And at fullback, you've got to kind of be in the right spot at the right time and got to be out the back of shape, and you've got to be pushing up through the middle, and you've got to be working with your forwards on their defence. And there's a lot of different...
It's a huge responsibility for an 18-year-old kid.
Yeah, a lot of different roles there, the hats that you need to wear. But he just looked a lot more relaxed and confident the other night and just found himself in those situations I was talking about then, just pushing up through the middle when he needed to be, playing out the back of shape, got in a little bit of open space, set up a couple of tries, and just have to think that the Raiders at the moment are a side that just might have turned the corner, Liam.
Yeah, and you wonder what Ricky and the likes of Jared Croker and Josh Hodgson and those senior players have said to young Xavier Savage in the last 2-3 weeks since he made his debut about the first grade experience and the speed and all the rest of it and the expectations that gave him the confidence to play like he did.
Yep.
100-metre, 200-metre long jump, under-17 Queensland State champion. Yep. So there's no question mark around his athleticism.
Yep.
And as Reedy revealed to us, in his first ever Monday edition of Reedy's Mail, was being shopped around at the start of the year for $180,000.
Yeah, well, you just never know, mate. And
it's just so hard with it.
Yeah, exactly. You get these guys that are coming through and they've got the speed, but he doesn't look like a big guy. And at the moment, you know, a lot of clubs are looking for a big dominant fullback, you know, that carries the ball. And same with Dane Laurie. Like when I watched Dane Laurie, who's playing for the Tigers and doing a wonderful job, come through Penrith system last year, I went, oh, this guy's got some ability, but I just don't think he's big enough for the role. And he's come in and he's playing the way that he is on the back of a side that generally is getting beaten well every week. So the opportunities for these guys now to make their way into first grade and have a and make a real difference is there. And he's exactly what he did on the weekend.
And you speak of the Raiders, they now sit in ninth position, only out of the eight on for and against. They're 14 points worse off than the Cronulla Sharks. So Raiders, watch out. And Ricky, I mean, even regardless of whether he's on this show or not, I just like to know that Ricky's in a good mood, because the idea of Ricky Stewart being in a bad mood somewhere scares me. It just... it frightens me.
Yeah, look, he's the kind of guy that changes the energy in a room, doesn't he? He's got that sort of presence about him. But we had Josh Hodgson on the show yesterday and had a really good chat about where things are at with the Raiders. Yeah. And I just think with leaders like him in the organisation and Papali'i and guys that are willing to speak up and say what's on their mind, it allows things to get put in the past. And I think that's exactly what they've done. Like there was obviously some issues in the middle and early parts of the year amongst players, amongst administration, amongst coaches.
Departure of George Williams.
And if all that is sort of, you know, swept under the carpet and left there, it just festers and it can tear your season apart. But I believe that, you know, they've brought all that to the surface. They've had some really tough conversations. It looks to me like that's all in the revision mirror now and they're moving forward. Whether they're good enough to challenge and they can put a late season run in, it's yet to be seen. Mm. And they're probably still a few rungs under some of those top sides, but at least they're giving the Raiders fans a little hope.
Saturday night, this was a story of two different teams. It was a story of a Newcastle Knights outfit that frankly just aren't good enough at the moment against a Melbourne Storm team that are possibly the best sporting franchise in Australian sporting history. 48-4.
They were disappointing, weren't they? Like, I mean, we saw not the Melbourne Storm. Bloody hell. Incredible. What, 614 points in 17 rounds? You tell me how many that is a week.
632 points they've scored, and they've conceded 198. They've got a 434-point differential.
Yep. Yeah, they just click into gear. They know their role. They've had a really good run with injuries. Albeit they've still got some stars on the sideline.
Well, you say that, but like Ryan Pappenhausen has been out for what? He went out in round 8, I
magic
believe.
Round, yeah.
Magic round, round 10, there you go. So he's been out for 8 rounds. Mm-hmm. They've had injuries this year to Munster. They've had injuries this year to Harry Grant. They've had plenty
Harry
of
Grant,
injuries.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. Oh, well, it just shows what systems they've put in place down there. And they just, not just about, you know, the injuries and the way that they play, it's what they go through on a weekly basis over the last couple of months. Being away from home, the travel, the unknown that they live with, being at a club from Melbourne and facing their own difficulties down there, and the way they adjust and just get on with business, super impressive. They're going to be so hard to beat. They really are.
It is. Nico Hines, there is no greater. There was that brilliant tweet going around during the week about Nico Hines, which is that he's played 0 minutes of State of Origin, 0 minutes of grand final action, and yet he's held up both the NRL Premiership Trophy and the State of Origin.
Well, I don't think he's too far away from doing either.
Well, exactly.
Yeah, no, but I mean, he's another guy that, depending on where he plays at the Sharks, when he goes there next year, he's been a great pickup. A little bit like the Bulldogs are probably licking their lips with Matt Burton. You know, been able to get some time in first grade this year in a really good organisation to hone their skills, and they're going to be better players for it.
What about Justin Olam?
Yeah, incredible.
Well, how would you have gone matching up against him as a centre back in the day?
I would have gone the other side. I would have pulled senior rank and said, hey, you're on Justin. That's what they used to do when we come up against, you know, you're playing Mal and you're an 18-year-old kid and you're on the other side, and all of a sudden your centre partner comes up and says, hey, buddy, you're on the left this day. What are you talking about? I'm on the left. I played right all year. Yeah, but you're marking Mal. I don't want to do it. Yeah, Justin.
MG said he'd run away from him. Yeah, MG's like, incredible. I'm not running at that. Like, he's
incredible. Marcus Bye was very similar. Another Melbourne Storm player that used to play on their right wing, and I was left centre, and I used to always tell Gow, you know, Craig Gow, kick down the right, for God's sake, kick down the right. Because what had happened is he'd kick down the left and I'd be chasing down, and then Marcus Bye would eyeball you from about 20 metres away. And then you think, oh, shit, here we go. And then, mate, he would just hit the gas and it was just you and him, and he would win 9 out of 10 times. It was never a sorer day than a Monday after a Melbourne Storm game where Marcus was playing. Let me tell you.
Cam Munster spoke about it on the Matty Johns show afterwards, the Fox League. He's like, oh, yeah, I don't have to do much work in the defensive line because no one wants to run at me because Justin's next to me.
Yeah, so. fair to say if they play the Roosters again, Sam Walker won't be running over that way, and they won't be lighting up that right edge with their attack. But, yeah, what a player.
But, look, the performance of the Melbourne Storm as a whole was then, to an extent, matched by their premiership challengers, the Penrith Panthers, on Sunday, 30-16. They just got the job done. Still no Luai, still no Cleary, and they just keep rolling through and getting these, I guess Ivan Cleary would like to think of them as system wins, where the system wins rather than the talent that they have on the park.
Yeah, it was based on energy and enthusiasm, and Coruscant was rested. He didn't come on until sort of later on the game, and Liam Martin came on and had a huge impact, and you can see the confidence that Origin gives someone. But it just allows some of those other guys to stand up. Viliami Kikau, I thought, was really good, and Isaiah Yeo was really good. And, yeah, they lack a little bit of that finesse that Luai and Cleary obviously bring. You can see how important Cleary is, especially to an organisation when he pulls out of the Origin side last Wednesday, and we saw how that changed the way they went about their game plan. So, they just need to keep, you know, going through the motion. I believe it takes a little bit of pressure off them at the moment. The form that the Storm are in, the fact that these guys went 12 rounds, you know, being undefeated, and then it took, I think, the Tigers to beat them when they had 8 players out in that first week of Origin, and then they got beat by the Sharks the week after. I think it took the eyeballs off them a little bit and just allowed them now just to do exactly what you said, work on some of those young guys coming through their system, get all their injuries right, and by the time Nathan and Jerome come back in the next couple of weeks for the back end of the season, I think it puts them in a really, really good place.
Well, they are, and it's incredible to think this, let alone say it, given what they did in the first half of the year. They will head into the finals with the perception that it's a Storm Panthers, you know, that is the odds-on favourite to be the grand final matchup. They'll head into that as the underdogs, off the back of what the Storm are doing right now and what the Panthers are having to go
through. They meet again. I'm not sure what round it is. It might be early, you know, 21, 22, but there's going to be a big game at the back end of the year that might even be a battle for the minor premiership, but they do play each other again, so we'll probably take a little bit out of what happens in that in relation to, you know, when they come up against each other in the finals.
That's a round 20 matchup.
Round 20, yeah.
So next week you've got
Nathan
Panthers taking on the Broncos.
Should be pretty close.
I don't reckon they'd play him. I reckon they'd rest him.
Yeah. We'll have to wait and see.
I also look forward to the round 25 matchup between the Eels and the Panthers. I think that's going to be an absolute
always a
quarter.
Good one.
A good one. The Western Sydney big dogs going really nicely.
Hopefully we get some.
So.
Well. Let's not be ridiculous.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'd like to say that we're going to see some fans at that game because, you know, the first one at Penrith Park a few weeks ago.
Oh, wasn't it great?
Yeah, it was a good game, but there was no one allowed in there, was there? So, anyway, we'll see how we go.
Now that we've talked about the Storm Panthers matchup, I think back to that clash at Bluebet Stadium, Panther Park, earlier this year, where it was finished 8-6 or something. That was a corker of a game.
No Cleary that day either. Yeah, so no Pappenhausen, no Cleary.
No Pappenhausen, that's right.
And they had a shot to win that. Olam, the guy that we just mentioned
that's
earlier, had the pass out to his left. But and he's, I think he's worked on, I think that's that was a catalyst for some of the work that he's done, the improvement in those, you know, catch pass areas. That's a big part of his game these days.
So you're saying the Panthers have only got themselves to blame when Justin Olam tears them apart in the grand final?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, when you play Justin Olam, you know what's coming.
Yeah.
You know what lines he's going to run. You know what he's going to do defensively. So it's no surprise.
Yeah, two games to get through for round 18. West Tigers, Brisbane Broncos. Now, this was on paper, a pretty appealing game, even though they're down the wrong end of the ladder.
It was.
But these two teams sort of have found a little bit of form. West Tigers, Madge McGuire had said, after the other week's loss, he said he was looking for men to represent this club. And it appears he might have found a couple.
Well, he challenged them. If you think about their last month of football, they went 40 points put on them by the Eels, 66 by the Storm, and then almost 40 the other week by the Rabbits. And they had the bye last week, and in the way they were playing, the bye almost took them to Golden Point. So they haven't been in great touch, to be honest. So they needed a result. They needed to come out and put in a performance. And I'm not sure whether they did that as much as the Broncos just allowed that to happen. You know, the Broncos, I thought, it was a real opportunity. Great win. Probably their best in a long time against the Sharks. Defensive mindset, went out, put 26 points on them and dominated that game. And then it had a week off, and I thought, you know, new people coming to the club, some new signings, they look like they're on the right path. And they started the game the first 15 minutes. You know, the Broncos, they looked dominant. They looked like they were just going to have their way with the Tigers. But then, you know, kicking out on the full, running out on early plays, forward passes. They internally just erupted and invited the Tigers into the contest. And when the Tigers have got some quality players, you know, like Adam Dewey and Laurie.
Adam Dewey, centre or 5'8"?
Oh, he's a 6 because he needs the ball. He needs the ball in his hands, and we saw that in yesterday's performance. Him and his combination with Laurie, and they just got the job done and end up running away with it. The Broncos just kept capitulating, and they got worse as the game went on, and very frustrated Kevin Walters at the moment.
I bet the Broncos cannot wait to get Adam Reynolds up there.
Yeah.
If they could fast-forward
really,
that transaction.
Gamble tried really hard yesterday. You know, he gets to his kick and he chases hard and he's physical in defence, but he just doesn't have that finesse. So, yeah, the combination, I think they've just re-signed him. So that combination with Reynolds is one that they're going to, looks like they're going to take into next year.
Look forward to seeing what Tyson Gamble becomes with Adam Reynolds next to him.
Yeah, he can play a different game.
Yeah.
He doesn't need, because Brady Croft really had minimal impact in that contest yesterday. Didn't do anything with the football, didn't really kick, defensively got caught out on that right side on numerous occasions. So there's a big hole for Adam to fill.
Brady Croft does nothing to inspire my hopes for Nico Hines next year at the Sharks, because he left the Storm and he has not got any better. And that's my great concern for Nico Hines. I love him. I love everything he's doing at the Storm. But no one gets better when they leave the Storm.
Well, you don't have the players around you. You know, you don't have the same sort of system. But, you know, Nico, he's a fullback or he's a 5'8". Mm. And when you've got Munster and Pappenhausen there, you know, you've got to roll
the
dice.
And the forward pack that they do as well, yeah.
So he's a quality player. And you know what? The Sharks seem to be building into something quite nicely, and they'll be excited about getting him on board there. And
hasn't Josh Hannay done it? I know they lost.
I think
this
he's done a great job.
He's done a fantastic job.
I think
job.
He's done a good job. So, yeah.
Right, last game of the round. This was a fascinating game. You had the Bulldogs leading 12-10 at halftime. They ended up going down 32-24, but 12-10, Lachie Lewis's brain left his body.
Yeah,
and his body attached itself to Cody Walker's body.
Yeah.
They had a bit of an aggressive cuddle on the deck.
It was a strange one, Liam. I don't know. Lockie's a little bit of a different cat, and he just couldn't control his aggression at that point. And just got to be mindful of what's going on the scoreboard. Like, you're leading against one of the, you know, top sides of the competition. You've had two wins all season. Just got to have a bit more awareness about that. And it was a silly play, and he got 10 in the bin for it. And when they came back out after half time,
scored 8 points, I think.
He scored eight points, and that just gave him enough just to, I mean, South Sydney really only do as much most weeks as they need to get the job done.
Mm.
Whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, we'll find out later on in the season. But just defensively, I think the Bulldogs over the last couple of weeks have shown some green shoots, some progress. They're starting to settle on some of the combinations. They don't have the quality of roster of some of the opposition teams that they're coming up against at the moment, which you can see in those crucial stages of the game when the big moments are there. Usually it's the other team that's having it. But effort's there, and I think after that 66-point drubbing 3 weeks ago, I think Trent Barrett will be sort of happier.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see now. There was so much excitement and talk of the rebuild at the start of the year. Back end of last year, they signed Steve Hansen, the former All Black coach, as a consultant. Then they had the signings of Matt Burton, who'll be coming next year, Josh Adokar, who'll be coming next year, Brent Naden's coming on. And now they get that, they sort of push the momentum and narrative along a little bit with Gus Gould signing on.
Yeah, it's a big signing, isn't it? And there's probably a couple of positions that Gus needs to focus on. And it just makes me think, like, Gus isn't going there because he senses that they haven't got room in the cap or they haven't got corporate support. I mean, Gus has probably done his, I would imagine, he's done his due diligence and he's going to get across there and he knows the situation the club's in.
Yeah.
And he believes he can make that better. So that's a positive. He'll be able to help with getting finance for a centre of excellence over there. I know that they've got limited training facilities. He's going to help with recruitment and retention. You know, when you're sitting down with Trent Barrett and all of a sudden Phil Gould sitting next to you and you're having a conversation about coming to the club, it's certainly going to add some weight to that conversation. So
he'll get a decision-making expert to work with Lachie Lewis just on, you know, Gus, what decision-makers he makes.
As long as I think, I know that it says that they've got a pretty good relationship in the media, Gus, with Trent Barrett, and I believe that's probably true, but as long as the boundaries are really clear as well, you know, because Gus is a massive presence in an organisation and Trent needs to make sure that he's always there when you need him, but maybe you don't always need him.
Yeah.
You know, so because I think Trent's doing a pretty good job so far in pretty tough conditions. So they've bought a lot of outside backs. I'd like to see him focus a little bit more on some of those key positions. Mm. I know Burton's a six, but, you know, they signed, I think.
Looks like Paul Vaughan might be confirmed this week.
I'd love to see him go after a Brandon Smith, you know, Dale Finucane and those type of players that are going to just bring that little bit off the field as well for him. But we'll see what Gus delivers. When does he start? Does he start this year? Is he starting next year?
I believe he's leaving the Warriors with immediate effect.
Okay.
So I don't know when that means he begins with the Bulldogs, but I believe he's out on the Warriors now. So presumably he's getting into Canterbury effective immediately.
Well, I mean, the sooner the better because they're still putting their roster together for next year. So
Producer Charlie's giving me the thumbs up that he is now a Bulldog.
Okay, cool.
Gus the Bulldog. Gus is a great name for a Bulldog, actually.
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah. I think you're right.
I can picture Bulldogs all around Sydney.
Gus.
Called Gus.
Yeah.
Come on, Gus.
Come on, Gus.
Yeah, Gus, get out of it.
Stop slobbering, Gus. Get your nose out of there, Gus.
All right. There's your Round 18 review podcast. Ryan Girdler, I think you went well.
Thank you, mate.
I think you can tell Dad you'll get another game.
No, he doesn't listen anyway.
Get the listener out, Mr. Girdler.
Yeah, I will. I'll tell him.